Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
What can I say? You want to be a legal beagle? Take classes, form groups, and start questioning the laws? They may be legal code, but are they moral? And boy, do we have a special guest with us today, Captain Jack, who specializes in the codes. So if you happen to hear a telephone ringing, a dog barking, an angel humming, or an ET singing, we call in from our homes and offices all around the galaxy to create this program. This is really important. Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and in the Lord's Prayer, it doesn't mean get down on your knees and beg God to give it to you. What pray means is to go out into the world and get that which is yours. So always include a prayer for the celebration of our republic, for the United States, for America, not of America, that's the corporation, for America, the men, women, and children who represent and serve our great nation, our animal friends, as well as each other in our communities. Our program is dedicated to transformation, to health, to laugh sometimes. Some very funny things here happen from time to time. We've got great people here behind us. We've got Randy Shannon as a co-host. We've got Ron Hayes as our research director. We've got Mike Vitale sitting on the boards dealing with corporate structures that are kind of rough net right now because they're in transition. And that's what could be the word of the week, that things may seem rough to you right now, but it's the roughness of things changing and making sure that everything's working better and actually becoming more efficient and simplifying things and actually discovering that a lot of the clouds that you have in your minds and your hearts and the directions that you don't quite know which way to go and sometimes the way you feel perhaps confused or you wonder if you've done the right thing. All that is just stuff that's passing through. What you're headed for is a really beautiful and fabulous future. And we have some amazing people that are in the invisible as well as the visible. And we have a special guest here today that we'll be introducing shortly. We'll tell you more about him. So if you have any questions when we're on air, Randy, are you receiving tweets this morning? Ms. Shannon, are you there?
I believe she had to.
I'm here. I was.
You were muted, I bet. We're very polite here, so we mute, and sometimes we think we're saying brilliant things, and nobody's hearing anything.
It's twitter.com/ Randy Shannon, R-A-N-D-I. And what's funny is I was in an Uber last night in Indianapolis, and the driver's name, guess what it was?
Randy.
Yes. What's the odds? It was R-A-N-D-E-E. So,
and that kind of stuff actually shows that you're in the quantum field. Really, if you're scientifically minded and you don't believe in Jesus Christ or Buddha or any of that stuff, maybe you could go for the quantum field because all of them are addressing the magic that's possible in the universe when you're in alignment with principles. Okay, so you're not so different from everybody else. And even if you think you're an atheist, okay, just see what happens if you think you're near death. See who you call out for. You do not call out for the dog food company or anything of that nature. You either call out for the field or Buddha or Jesus or something like that. So tell the truth. There really is something bigger than you, whether you think so or not. So be a part of the change. Be part of the solution. We can disappear evil by taking charge, by educating ourselves and taking action. And our guest today is Captain Jack, the master of the citation, a man who has actually been brilliant at helping me throughout the years. And Randy and I are going to have a little bit of a discussion about a few other things that we play catch up on the first part of the show, Jack, but you can call him Jack, folks, because he lets his friends call him that. I just wanted to welcome you aboard and know that we'll be introducing you in about 10 minutes, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Valerie.
We look forward to that. So, Randy, I got to tell you what actually went on in L.A., and something that I actually liked that happened in Los Angeles with Mayor Garcetti. What they've done is they've created a lot. They're creating lots around the city in which the homeless in their vans and cars, because a lot of people are in vans and cars in the city, on the side of the streets and stuff, and then they get waken up at 3 in the morning by the police, checking to make sure they're alive and all that kind of stuff, or people break into their cars and take advantage of them. It's been a real problem here. Now they're creating what they call safe lots, and the safe lots are open at 9 o'clock in the evening, and you can, if you have a car or a van, you can go into the safe lot. And you have a place to shower and get food and all of that kind of stuff, and then you have to be out by 6 in the morning, but you can come back the next day at 9 o'clock in the evening. So you get actually a good night's sleep, some food, and you get cleaned up. And it's working. It's amazing. It's just, they did it on the QT, because anytime in L.A., if we suggest we're going to do something, there's always somebody that's complaining about it, okay? So they just kind of they started doing it. And it's taken fire. And the gratitude of the homeless people is just spectacular. And I feel like we're actually doing something meaningful just by simply creating space for them to be safe, you know? So,
yeah.
Share that one with you. You got anything from Florida that's happening or anything
like
that?
It's just interesting, you know, that there's so much of that going on. But it's all over, you know, these hurricane zones in North Carolina and kind of, you know, they called it, what, Mexico Beach and Panama City Beach. There's tons and tons of tent people in our country right now, people that, you know, so it's literally every walk of life. This is going to be a different year, and I just want this to be, you know, going into this holiday, just a year of simplicity, you know, because for most people, all year long is Christmas. You know, people just buy what they want when they need it, whatever, and so, you know, I had a friend that just turned 53. And a group of us went and celebrated the birthday. And I got him a couple of books. I got him The Secret Life of Plants, and I got him Dr. Emoto's the Water book, where it talks about the crystals. And then he loves whiskey. So I purposely bought him the whiskey he wanted. And it was, I walked into the liquor store, and I said, I'm looking for this. And I showed him, it was a name. And I said, do you have it? And he said, yes. He walks me back to the back area, and it's under lock and key. And in my mind, I'm going, oh no, this is going to be expensive, because I've never bought this one before. And it was actually a $200 bottle of whiskey. But the price wasn't the issue. It's about being simple and just, I mean, that's still very simple. And that's going to bring a long time of fun, I'm sure, for that person. So, you know,
Randy,
and great conversations.
He will never forget it, his entire life.
No, when he opened it, he was like, oh! I mean, it took his breath away, because it's his favorite, and he never thought anybody would get him that. So it was just, you know, kind of a night. It just, that's what I love, simple. Simple books, simple messages that are life-changing. So,
by the way, that
you know,
book you first mentioned, The Life of Plants, that is, that is one of my favorite books on the entire planet. I read that book like 30 years ago, and it changed my life. I actually stopped yelling around my plants.
But it's not even that. It's people. It's, we're made up mostly of water, so it's like the same thing that's happening in the plants is happening in the people. And so that's why every word that comes out of your mouth, it boils down to love, that love is everything. Everything needs to be within love. And there's going to be days it can't. Road rage, you know, good example. you know, I had to drive, I was driven actually to the airport yesterday, and it was like being on the Autobahn, because I didn't leave the house until 1 hour, or on the hour. It was a domestic flight, and you pretty much get locked out. And here I am, the keynote speaker in Indianapolis this weekend. And if I was absent, what happens to the event? I could not miss that flight. So it was an Autobahn trip. It was an interesting ride, but it was actually, like, pristinely done. It was wonderful. Life is fun.
Good job there, kiddo. Well, I do. I did get into a little bit of fraud, stuff that I think is like outrageously fraud. I'll keep it simple. But one of the things, the brilliant government of California, I do believe we have now reached corrupt levels of the most corrupt state in the union. They now are trying to figure out a way to tax text messages. And then I was just like, really what's next, okay? Because now they're trying, I think we've actually passed something, or something has been passed that actually sets a, what do you call it, a limit on how much a homeowner can charge if they want to rent out a room. And frankly, yes. I think none of their business what happens there. They're trying to get us from every direction. So then I call up Capital One because I want to make arrangements with them on something from the past. And I ended up talking to this Stacy, who is just amazing supervisor. We ended up talking for almost an hour. And what we started talking about was usury taxes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are two states in the union, which I perhaps Captain Jack could address later, or it may be in his citation somewhere. But one of these states has been charging up to over 300% interest on credit cards and things like that. And another one is top 400%. And what I was telling Stacy was that back in the 1950s, usury was considered anything over 10%. So how they're getting away with charging this 388% and stuff like that, I don't know how that works. And I believe one of them was actually Utah. So, but I know also that Utah is very friendly to health things. For instance, most of the health food companies have some kind of offices in Utah. So go figure. Because I always thought they were the coolest state, but if they're at over 300% taxes, I'm not sure. So perhaps this is the perfect way. Jack, are your ears burning? Do you have anything to comment on that? And I know that you're a master of citations, and I just can't wait to see what you have for us this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Valerie. It's good to be invited on your Waking Up in America show. I would like to say good evening to those in my time zone, good morning to those who are not, and good afternoon and good night to the others. So if you will give me a second, what I'd like to do is give my disclaimer. First of all, I'm not an attorney. I do not give legal advice. If anything I say is like something you may have heard having to do with the law, it's probably from somebody in a far off planet or country somewhere where you have to understand that the country in which we make our home is not really honoring the law. What they honor is decisions of people who are not upholding their oath to taxes, as Valerie has intimated, to micromanage our lives, to do things in the courts which are abominable because they do not follow the law. They make the law from the bench and they do anything they want. I've had a little experience in this because I've been active with Valerie in some other things that we've done together and Randy. And I started in 1991 studying the Federal Reserve and try to figure out what was actually going on. And then I started making PowerPoint presentations for clients and people who really wanted to manage their lives properly, to have a more comfortable retirement, to protect their assets, to protect themselves from mischievous lawsuits for certain things. I've had a few experiences, Val, in the courts, as you know.
Yeah,
I've been pretty fortunate. I was actually, counting it up in anticipation of this show this morning about 8 hours ago, and I found that, I've had about six successes out of eight attempts. So various things, traffic citations, and a couple things to do with the illustrious Internal Revenue Service, that corporation located down in Puerto Rico. I've been supported by some people who have been just amazing.
Why don't you take a moment just to tell them you stepped over Puerto Rico, but I think it's very interesting. Would you just flesh that out a teeny bit before you move on?
Well, sure. I actually have received some success in the United States Tax Court in Washington, D.C., due to the assistance of some friends of mine. And I'll tell you what that was all about. I know people who are 43 normally don't get Social Security, but take that for what it's worth. I was receiving Social Security checks, and not for disability. This is for retirement. And I know people say, hey, you don't sound like you're 73. But in fact, I have reached retirement some time ago. And so I was getting garnished on my Social Security because the Internal Revenue Service said, you owe us some taxes, so we're going to just take it out of Social Security. Well, that caused me some distress because the law of Social Security, or the statutes, state that Social Security is not to be garnished for any reason. In fact, the Supreme Court of the United States of America, in its better days, said that is absolutely true when it overruled a case from Arkansas. Oh, by the way, for those who are interested in seeking their own justice, I've accumulated a few citations, and these are from statutes and codes and IRS regulations and the law, which includes the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, the United States Constitution, which is the Constitution for, as Valerie so wonderfully said earlier, not the Constitution of. The preface on the Constitution says the Constitution of the United States of America, the title, that is. Titles don't control. The body controls. And in it says, we the people, in order to establish a more, I'm getting off track, that's the Declaration. It says the Constitution for the United, and United is a little a lowercase u. And people miss that. So you ought to grab a copy of the original Constitution off the internet and really go through that thing. It's an amazing document. And it says the people control the government, not the vice versa, as they're trying to micromanage. As Valerie mentioned, they're trying to tax texts out in California, I understand now. And that is just the first step of thought control, I think.
This is the 54th step of what they're controlling.
Well, it's the first obvious one. 1984 is not very far away, I think. Thank you. But what I'm saying is I have these citations, and it's just been an accumulation of my education and my experience. And what you're hearing from me today has nothing to do with attorneys or hanging out a shingle to say you're an attorney or charging for legal advice. This has to do with relating experience, personal experience of success and failure to people who are interested in trying to enforce their own rights. A wise man named Bill Thornton once said, the rights of the people end where my rights begin.
Jack, I've got a question for you, actually. It clicked into my mind when you said that that Social Security is not to have any withdrawals from it. How does that, is Medicare illegal to be taken out of your Social Security check as well?
Medicare is voluntary. You can opt out of Medicare if you want.
Right, but they take it out of your Social Security check.
Yeah, but that's voluntary. You know, you don't have to have Medicare. You can go bare.
I like Medicare, but do I have to have it removed from my Social Security check? That's the question.
Okay, I didn't understand that difference there, but I don't know that, and I would
that'd be interesting.
Contact the people if there's another way you can do it.
I think it would be interesting if we start to say, hey, this is legal, but I think this needs to be handled another way because the Constitution says you actually can't take anything else out of the Social Security check.
Well, it's actually not the Constitution that says that. It's the statute that was passed when they implemented Social Security. But I think they did it for a valuable reason. If you have people always opting in and out, it's a mess. That's an administrative thing that I'm not familiar with, so we'll have to beg off on that question.
I see that Randy just got back on the bridge. Randy, welcome back.
Got disconnected.
Bridge. I like to think of this as the bridge being in space, overlooking the planet. That way, we have a clearer view of what's going on here, and everything that looks crazy isn't so crazy. Jack, who do you help the most frequently, and what is the most frequently requested topic from you?
Well, probably the most frequent these days is defending against wrongful foreclosure, and that's a real big one because people are being kicked out of their homes after. This shocks some people who are not in the know, but it is true that when we sign a negotiable instrument, and you have to start looking up these definitions, you can't take anything for granted. Legalese is named legalese for a reason. It's intended to put different definitions into the words that we commonly accept as we understand them, and that's just not true. I would get, if you don't have a legal dictionary, which is kind of common, you can always go to any law school and go to the legal library and start looking up words. Or you can go actually into the world of the internet and do it for free. You don't have to travel outside your home. And just start Googling legal dictionary, and you'll have many options to look at. Also, if you're in a contest with the Internal Revenue Service, you can look at their definitions inside the code. One wonderful man by the name of David Myrland, M-Y-R-L-A-N-D, is the consummate source of wisdom on the Internal Revenue Service and its code. I would strongly encourage you to get a hold of Chris Chapman and order David's book titled Section 83. Little aside on this, David was in court, had a IRS supervisor on the stand under oath, and in the course of the questioning of this supervisor, he said, "All right, Ken, then based on what you've said, would you please tell the court, I'm paraphrasing here, the implications that Section 83 would have on my tax return?" And this woman looked at David with just plain, bold candor and said, "I'm not familiar with Section 83. I don't believe that for a second.
Right.
If you're a supervisor at the IRS, you know about Section 83. And it simply says that the amount over the amount contracted for, again, paraphrasing, is referred to as income. Because, you see, in the tax code and in the law of the Constitution, and in the decisions of the Supreme Court of the United States, wages, in other words, compensation for our labor, either intellectual or manual, is not income. It's an equal exchange of labor for compensation.
So no salaries technically can be taxed?
Technically, that's right.
Okay, I like. I'll give you another one. I think everybody may like, and it's only a rumor. And I hope you've heard it too, Randy. The rumor is the IRS will not exist next year. There's a rumor going around. Another rumor going around saying that Congress is about three quarters full of attorneys, and according to the Constitution, that attorneys who hold the title, which is Esquire, cannot be in either house. Am I correct there, Jack?
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. And the people are to be elected representatives.
Yes.
And attorneys are persons. And the difference sounds like there is none. But again, Google those words in the law and in the legal dictionaries and find out the difference. You see, the sovereign people of the United States as the 13 original colonies before they became the United States of America were breaking away from Britain because of the very reason they left Britain. The primary reason was freedom of religion. The Anglican Church was going rampant and just destroying people's freedom to worship as they choose. And so people from England and a lot of people from France and Holland and Germany and Ireland, and just what goes on and on, decided to come to the United States. Two of the founding fathers, people don't know this a lot of the times, were Irish. They all were escaping the tyranny of government. And that's why the founders referred to tyranny in the Declaration of Independence.
I just want to throw in here, I can't resist it. Christopher Columbus did not discover America, and he was an Indian murdering bum, as far as I'm concerned. So every time I see the Christopher Columbus Continental Highway, it's one of the top things that I would like to have the people of this country remove. And one of the things we might want to just mention here, John, is that we're not citizens of the U.S. because citizens of the U.S., I believe, are just Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., am I correct?
And the several territories.
Okay, so we're nationals, and that's why I start this program off as American state nationals. We're also citizens of our states, or not citizens of our states, we're of our states. We represent our states. Randy, any comments here?
No, this used to be a field that I was in for quite some time. It's interesting. I don't even know if I've mentioned this to you, Val. There's a investigation going on for some people that were doing something with the IRS, I don't think intentionally bad. And I've actually interviewed with some of their agents, and they were the nicest people. I mean, really, really nice people. It was criminal investigation. And, I had a law call that I hosted for 5 years, and so some of these people were on there. And, there was questions asked about some of the processes and stuff that they were doing. And the thing is most people are like me that have literally no knowledge of these things. So, just because you're a radio host doesn't mean that you're completely involved. And, and it doesn't make you an accountant or a CPA or any of those things. So I just think that so many people they're not educated in this. And you're talking about things that most people don't even know, including the agents, or they've been educated differently on it. So where is it all going to go? The rumor you just said,
But why? IRS is not even an American institution. It does things in different parts of the world, just as the post office mm-hmm. does. I believe the post office, the home office of the post office, I think is Bern, Switzerland, okay? So mm-hmm. a lot of the things that you think, including the treasuries and different things of that nature, aren't necessarily run by the United States. So
That's a good point, Valerie. And Randy, thank you. The fact is that the IRS was never authorized by Congress. The only statute that was passed by Congress concerning taxation was the appointment of a tax commissioner. And the commissioner of revenue is his title. Now, I've come to know some of these things because I've been in the courts on my own situation about that, and I've been successful. In 2005, I think it was, or 2004, September, I sued 8 IRS agents for eight causes of action.
Wow.
On January the 3rd, that hearing was scheduled, and the phrase steamrolled is appropriate in this case. The the judge simply denied everything in the complaint, the facts,
right,
before the court, and just ignored them and said, this is nonsense, your complaint's dismissed. Well, I objected, and I objected timely, and then he dismissed it, and I objected again, and then he closed the session, and then I wrote a writ of error, and then he dismissed that as nonsensical. I wrote a second one. I contacted my common law mentor, who still is my mentor in common law, and his name is Bill Thornton, as I mentioned earlier. And he said, well, you can sue him in his individual capacity for obstruction of justice, because that's what he did.
Can I do that with Santa Monica?
Depends. I don't know. You know, I have to look at the actual facts before the in your case. But what I told Bill at the time was, Bill, I'm too busy. I'm trying to make a living, and you know, I'm spending 80, 90 hours a week doing that. So I've had enough adventure at this point in my life to try to get this thing through. I may come back to it later. And
well,
I did come back to it later.
Thing that people can do, which I found out because there's a very corrupt judge, in my opinion, that's working actually with the banks in Santa Monica. I won't name the gentleman's name, but even the clerks, by the way, make friends with your clerks if you decide to do stuff, because they'll save you all the time if you do pro se. The judges think that because you're pro se, you don't know nothing and you don't have no friends and stuff like that. Well, the clerks are your friends, and people like Jack are your friends, and Randy. None of them are licensed, but what happened in Santa Monica was one of the clerks actually handed me a complaint folder. It turns out that for every courthouse is a presiding judge, and what she did is she told me that it sounded like I should be filling out that folder. Now, in the Santa Monica courthouse, where I have varied a career as Jack does in different courts, all the way from commissioner courts to traffic courts to federal courts to local courts to all kinds of stuff, because I don't like to put up with crap. And when you recognize it, then, and you have friends like Jack and Randy, you know where to go to start opening the doors, and that's where Legal Beagles came from. It's from teamworks of people that aren't licensed, that are actually reading, just like Jack is saying about getting familiar. If any of this is intriguing to you, just start talking to your friends and start taking on assignments. And one of the things that we might want to mention here is the word original, because when you call or you write to your mortgage company and you ask for original and they send you back Xeroxes, what's that all about, Jack?
Well, that's curious. If you look at Black's Second and look up the word genuine, you'll see it is the actual... I can't go off the tip of my tongue, but it is the actual document that was signed by the party. And so an original is a copy, and a genuine is the blue ink signature document. That's the one you want to get, because they don't have it. They can't have it. And the reason in mortgages that they can't have it is the law, the New York trust law, generally accepted accounting principles, the bank regulations, and there's another one in here that I can't put my finger on the title of it, but they all say that if you're going to foreclose and repossess or evict the people from a house, then you must present the genuine promissory note and deed to the court for cancellation. Otherwise, if you don't do that, somebody later could have the genuine note and deed and come after you again after you've been evicted and lost your home one time. You can be sued for the value of the mortgage and the foreclosure costs again. So you really need to know what you're doing. It's frightening. Because when you first go into court, and even when I go into court today after having been eight times, your knees are knocking a little bit, because you know that these guys are going to try to trick you, and they do.
They do all the time.
I've been in for traffic violations, and I could go on and on about that, but just let it be said that about 4 out of 5 times I've defeated people, a person in the court on traffic.
My odds as good as yours, and one of the Beagles, Randy, you know Sherry. I don't know if you know this, but Sherry called me up last week and told me that what we need to do is to go to, and I haven't had a chance to do it, I totally will do it, that we need to go to the county recorder's office, and we need to ask for all of the paperwork that's been filed with the county recorder on the property since our purchase date. And what they've been discovering is that the bank, when it records the purchase of the property and so on and so forth, actually marks the bill paid. So what are you paying mortgage on if the bill is already paid? It's all smoke and mirrors, folks. You don't know anything, okay? And that's where it gets really a little bit more complicated for what we're discussing today. But you can, Jack, between you and Randy and Sherry and Lonnie Hogan-Miller, I have learned how to at least throw logs on the railroad tracks every time they think they're going to get me.
Well, that's the important thing is... Val, that's the important thing. You can't quit. When you quit, you lose. I learned that a long time ago by a man who was very successful, and he said, "If you don't stop, you can't lose. You know, if you don't quit, you can't lose." And that's what happened with me in that IRS case in 2005. I guess January, the judge rolled over me, and so on the 12th of January, when I was getting my checks, came in the mail and it still was being garnished. So I said, well, I've lost the war. I lost the war. And then just a month later, 30 days later, on February the 12th, the check arrived, and I found that I lost the battle, but I won the war because it was no longer being garnished. And why is that? Why did they do that?
Yeah.
Why did they start paying me again? It's simple. They didn't want a decision in the court record that you can't garnish Social Security. Now, it's already in the record. In fact, that remember, we were speaking yesterday, Val. Out of gratitude for all the people who've helped me, I'd like to offer you some information. I have some citations that I refer to pretty much daily because you can't remember all this stuff. At least I can. I know some people who do, but... I refer to it, and it's a simple Excel spreadsheet, and you don't have to get excited because you don't know how to use Excel. It's simple. You open it up, and you go to the search or find tool that they have, and then you put in a word that you want to look for. How about income? How about wages? How about taxes? How about garnishment? How about anything you want to look up? It's not all comprehensive. But Blacks and Bouviers are available for free on the internet. You should have all of them in there in your computer to refer to. I do. I've got Blacks. I don't have the first. I've got Blacks second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and I've got Bouviers 1856. And what these is, are.
Go ahead. Is 1856 from the year 1856?
Yeah. And if you think about it, another of my mentors, Mr. Bob Schaefer, who was a man with a golden heart, he just gave and gave until the day he died. And I'll tell you some stories sometime about him. But he I got off track there. I was talking about Bouviers. Oh, yes. If you look up in the record, he was defending his property against encroachment by code enforcement. And it was actually the property of somebody else who later, when he died, gave Bob the property because he helped him and he had no heirs. He gave him 5 acres. And he put up some postings on the fences of these people who he helped with this. And one of them is the Fourth Amendment posting. And it specifically states in the Fourth Amendment that you have to have malum in se causes to present a warrant for arrest. And if it's not a malum in se, meaning evil in itself, warrant cause, such as murder, rape, mayhem, treason, those are malum in se crimes that can be allow someone to be arrested by a warrant from the court. So you got to study these things. And if you don't know them, you're putting yourself in jeopardy, just like the general who was invited by the IRS to have a little tete-a-tete. And they said, oh, no, you don't need an attorney. We're just here to visit.
Right.
And then they accused him of lying. And the assistant attorney general said, well, we know he did not lie. So you can't trust people in government. And that's why the Constitution for the United States of America was to ensure that the people had the rights and the government had limited authority. Well, we've quit
you just hear my cell phone
claiming our authority. No, I did not.
Okay, so my cell phone just rang, okay? You know, my iPhone. Guess what? Here it goes again. I am confirmed to have a 1 o'clock conversation on Sunday with Tim Turner.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
I have been working on this the entire, I think he's been in there like 5 or 6 years now. I've written him a number of times. You can't send him Christmas cards. If anybody's interested, send me a note and I'll give you his address to write. You can't send him cards. They won't accept that. You can't send him money. You have to do that some different way. But thanks to Monty Olson and some people that got overlooked because the government didn't consider them important enough, we actually have a way to get to Tim Turner now, and I get to talk to him on Sunday for the first time in 6-7 years. And well, that was just confirmed while we're on the air right now. So, and you brought it up when the phone was ringing, by the way. You brought up Tim when the phone started to ring.
Oh, that's now, great. And give him our best when...
I will, but I want people to get that that's how the field works, okay? The quantum field, that's how Jesus works, that's how Buddha works. It's a field that they access, and they tell you that if you live a certain kind of life, that you can access this field. So I don't care whether you believe in Buddha or Jesus or not. Go get scientific and find out what the quantum field is. There's proof all over the place. Go read the book Origins and find out how it all works. Religion doesn't disappear. Religious connection disappears when you disregard humanity and you become evil. So it's not religion itself. It's what religion has turned into or what different leaders of different religions do. There is a spirit there. There is access. There is something bigger than we are. And right now here on December the 15th at 7:49, when he was talking, I was getting confirmed. And he mentioned it before. He mentioned Tim before I did. I was just sitting there having a hard time keeping quiet about it. So, Randy, honest to God, we're on track here. I just can't tell you how excited I am about this. And, Jack, the work you do, and all of the rest of you guys out there, this program is bicycled. That's what happens when it gets sent from one radio station to another, to another, to another, to another. We don't even know actually how many listeners we have. We have well over 600,000 and the number is growing, but we don't know because it goes on different platforms. All over the world, excuse me, you can question. All over the world, you can start to work in the courts. And it works, folks, and we are doing something, and California is changing around. And Randy, you know, God bless those people in that county in Florida that 30% of those people are in cars or in RVs living there. By the way, our people in Malibu, Jamie Winder and I are going down to Malibu to actually help people today.
Help
them with massage, and I'm going to do emotional clearing on them, and we're going to go down there because they've lost everything, their homes. At the same time, I've been working with a client who lost over $3 million worth of art and things of that nature. And after we cleared her grief, people started pouring in to help her. She has been so accelerated by the loss of everything that it's breathtaking. She is being courted by some of the leading human beings on the entire planet and God knows from where else. She's been given opportunities that she never could put together before because in losing everything, she found everything. So the loss of your home, the loss of your car, the loss of somebody that's dear to you isn't the end, okay? It can be the beginning if you allow it. I've been taking different products for aging, to reverse aging, and people are looking at me in shocked ways going, oh my God, what did you do? And I said, we can talk about it another time, but if you're interested, we can create Lazarus kits for you. And if you want to write to me about the Lazarus kit, you can do that. The deal here is I actually tested it on my dog who was supposed to be put down. And because he couldn't stand up and all kinds of stuff. And now he's like leaping up and down stairs and being a real jack bum like he used to be when he was a puppy.
I take that as a compliment, Valerie. Thank you.
Sassy. He's full of it. He's mischievous again. He hasn't been mischievous in 10 years, okay? And it's all about energy, and it's about letting energy in. So sometimes when you lose things, if you can let go of it, you can actually receive more than you had before. So I think that we all say that, wishing you a Merry Christmas and that kind of thing. And Randy, I know you're supposed to be taking off any second.
I am, but I just wanted to second what you were saying. When you lose everything, it's not the end, because, you know, we were homeless in a moment. I think it was May 15th, 1998, when a tornado came through, and we literally lost everything. We were under the house, and the house was virtually gone. The roof was gone. The windows were gone. The whole house was moved 3 inches off the foundation.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Right, above us. All this went on above us. And it was devastating in the moment, but as a little bit of time went by, it ended up being one of the greatest things. For one, you get rid of tons of clutter. So if you survive it, which, you know, that's all we were asking at the end, you get rid of a lot of junk. And, and you know, every single year of my life, I just declutter even more and have become such a minimalist, because that's why I talk about Christmas. Don't go buy a bunch of things that just help to clutter up. I mean, we, especially in this country, we have more than we need, probably. So,
place of Albuquerque throwing itself into the mix.
I know.
Here. Thank you, Mike. No. That's putting Christmas all down. Okay, what's going to happen? I belong to two families. One of them is a Swedish family, and the other one is an English family. Okay, so and it works out quite well because the Swedes actually celebrate on Christmas Eve, and the English celebrate during Christmas, and we usually have a great party, and on Christmas Day we'll usually go see the new show. It looks like we're all going to go see Mary Poppins, something that comes out on Christmas. There's just all kinds of possibility here, and then we say to each other, well, we're not really going to give each other anything, but we'll find something that we think the other one would like, and we give it to them, like Randy, you were talking about, you know, decluttering. So, get us a bunch of clutter, and you can look at something and go, you know, that really looks like it belongs to Jim, you know? He's
Valerie.
Been behind that for years. Why don't I just give it to him?
Valerie.
Yes.
In the interest of time, I would like to say, first of all, thank you to you and Randy and Mike and Ron and everybody. Thank you for allowing me to address the people today. And in the interest, in the Christmas spirit, which is the spirit of giving, as St. Nicholas originally began, instead of what Hollywood does now with Christmas, I would like to give you those 1,600 or so citations that I've accumulated, and ask people to enlarge it and send it back to you, and let people use what my experience has taught me. So I'll send that to you if you like.
I love it, and I just want to say, hey, Legal Beagles, our library is now established, okay? Thanks to Captain Jack here, and Randy, and all the rest, and Sherry, and oh my God, how many people we had on this show. You just created our library. It's a pro se library, folks, and I want to tell you something. This is my Christmas wish to you. Pro ses actually have more power when they're educated than attorneys do. Now, you may not, you may find that hard to believe, but if you can get around to believing it, you a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Anyway, join us again next week, and thank you so much. Take care, and we love you all. Thank you.
With extraordinary plans. And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through. Now your heart is